Hello, everybody. This is Sharique and Rashana for the Expect Increase podcast. And today we're really pleased to be joined by MC Walker. She's the author of Pieces of Me, and she's also a phenomenal ghostwriter and book mentor. So if you're looking to write a book, this is definitely a lady that you want to talk to. And we're going to give her opportunity right now to tell us a little bit more about you, about herself. And then we're going to ask her some questions that are really going to help you get ahead and where you want to be in your business. So welcome, MC.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Great. So, Sean, we're going to give you the opportunity to tell us a little bit more about yourself. And Rashawn and I will then ask you some questions, some more questions, to take a little deeper dive into your business.
Okay.
First, let's know what you want us to know about you.
Yeah.
That's always an interesting question when someone asks about yourself. Well, I like to say I am a creative entrepreneur. Like, I'm super multifaceted and multi-talented. So the first thing that I like to share with people, that I'm an author first. That is my core. Outside of being an author, I have branched into entrepreneurship. And I have a copywriting business where I consult with small businesses or organizations that need help with online content, such as social media, articles, blogs, and et cetera. And I also offer book coaching one-on-one with aspiring authors who want to identify their brand messaging and connect with their potential readers. So, like I said, I am super multifaceted. I have so many tasks and career options that God has planted so many seeds inside of me. I don't know where to go.
But at your core, you're an author.
At my core, I am an author. Yeah, that's where I got my start as an author, writing novels and just falling in love with the craft of writing. And then that just exploded into other avenues.
That is awesome. I mean, I've been following you, and I know you from our program, and I've just watched you blossom and grow, and I just love your posts. They're so inspiring, and your success stories. I know you also have a connection to the show, one of my favorite shows, Queen Sugar. So tell us about that.
I've been a fan of Queen Sugar since the show started, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. And I connected immediately with the storyline of a Black modern day family that is trying to unite. But of course, they have some obstacles that they need to overcome. And sometimes those obstacles are bigger than just overnight problems. They have generational curses that they need to unravel. So I immediately connected with that. And then I began to just express like how most people do their thoughts and concerns and how emotionally provoking the show is on social media. And then that just led to bigger and better opportunities, you know, like being reached out by the Oprah Winfrey Network and, you know, asked to do a commercial to not only promote the show, but to also give my honest and vulnerable feedback about how the show makes me feel as a viewer. And then that just led to, you know, meeting Oprah in person and the cat, Sugar.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, so definitely we'll give you a chance to give us your Instagram and all your social media handles at the end. And so I highly encourage everyone to go check out her social media, because she has pictures with Oprah in the cast on her Instagram. So we're going to get right into our discussion. We're talking with you. So tell us about, how do you combine your faith and your business?
I've always been a faith-based person. God has always been at the center of my life. But for me, I had to go through a transitional period of learning to actually trust God. I know that God was always in the picture, but I didn't have that connection. So I would always try to do things on my own and then try to resort back to God. And so whenever I would do that, that would always lead me to failure or a disconnect or feeling lost or confused. So ultimately, back in maybe, I think it was 2016 or 2017, I ultimately, you know, decided to, you know, give up on doing things my way and removing myself from the equation and allow God to ultimately just fill me up with more Him and, you know, guide me and to order my steps and to, you know, pour into me. And so I just began to really ultimately sacrifice, you know, make those changes that need to be necessary, disconnecting from people that were not in alignment with where I wanted to go, and really just drawing closer to God's messaging. So I started listening to the podcast. I started writing down spiritual quotes and, you know, just being obedient and then staying in solitude. And then that's ultimately how I began to connect with God more intimately. So once I began to do that and I had my aspirations became clear to be an entrepreneur, then that worked in sync with who I was becoming and my moral and core values. So that ultimately, you know, helped me to understand that God is always at the center of all of my decisions, and I never want to be without God ever. So if I'm making a business or personal decision, I have to include God within that decision-making process.
That is awesome. I mean,
yeah.
I can't even say enough about that. There were so many aha moments in that.
Thank you.
We've all tried to do it ourselves, and mm-hmm. I just had that experience personally where I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do?
Absolutely.
I fall my behind so many times. You know what I mean? So, yes, thank you so much for sharing that. I know somebody else can definitely hear themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think what is most, like, when you were talking about that journey of going into what you said, like, solitude, mm-hmm. kind of blocking out the noise, blocking out the thoughts of what you wanted to do, but really trying to get clear to listen to what He would have you to do.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to make that ultimate change, you know? Like, you're used to doing things your way. I didn't grow up in a religious household. I didn't have anyone in my life particularly that, you know, cultivated that relationship between God and I. So I always knew that God existed. You know, God was the spiritual being that created the earth, created all these wonderful things. But I didn't have anyone teaching me how to have that relationship intimately. So I just did things like how normal people do. And I go out into the world, I make a mistake, I try to recover from that mistake, and then I use God as an emergency line, and then I would be like, oh, why is this not working? Because God already and always knew me. I just mm-hmm. didn't Him. So yeah. I had to, you know, get to know Him in order to receive what He was trying to show me and be able to reveal what He wanted me to go in this life. So yeah, to be in solitude and to disconnect from what the world is saying and then have that intimate personable connection with God is the first step in, you know, having your own business plan.
Yes.
Yeah. So if God is the main motivator for how you started your business, how do you continue to keep that motivation at the forefront while it grows?
Well, for me, I have a, this is going to sound really cheesy, but I have a prayer closet in my home, and I don't have anything inside of it. It's completely empty. So I've never done that before, and I've had several places, but I've never intentionally invited God into my home. So when I my new place this year, I intentionally and purposely created a space for God, for me to just be able to speak openly and honestly and be vulnerable. So whether things are going good, going bad, if I need to make a decision and I need instructions or whatever it may be, I needed to have a direct, immediate connection with God. And I wanted God to be invited into my home also, but I wanted my home to be a place of peace, of harmony, where I can create and then be stable. So it's not even just, you know, whether I'm doing good in life or I'm doing bad and it's a down period. It's always a consistent moment of peace where God is always present in my life. So I don't even look at my failures or, you know, my shortcomings as, oh my God, this is not working, you know, I'm failing. I look at everything as it's not the time to move forward. I need to step back and just allow God to continue to order my steps. So whenever I'm making a, you know, whether I say it's a business or it's a personal relationship or something with my kids, it's always God in the middle. I have to talk to God first before I consult with myself to know what's the best thing for me to do.
That is awesome. You said so many great things there. So when we talk about the challenges that you face, like, mm-hmm. I know some people starting their businesses. I mean, it's like, you know, it may feel like one mistake after another and you may, mm-hmm. you know, beat you down. So right. Tell us about some of the mistakes or aha moments that you had in the very beginning as you were starting your business, and how did you overcome them?
One of the biggest mistakes that I made was just really not trusting myself and not knowing my audience and trying to put a product out there before it was time, and my audience is not connected with it. Like, I was, you know, continuously going back to the drawing board. I didn't have a business plan. I didn't have a lot of money saved. I didn't have anything. I just knew that I wanted to step into the entrepreneurial journey, but I didn't know how. And I didn't have a lot of guidance or mentorship. Because most times when people think that they're going to jump into entrepreneurship, that someone is going to be there to catch them when they fall or when they have a question. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. For me, I didn't have that, and I had to really learn from, you know, the poor sales or not attracting the right customers or not getting any updates or any progress moving forward when I initially jumped out to start what I'm doing currently today. So that really could have, you know, shifted my mindset, and I could have took a step back and, you know, went back into the workforce and, you know, waited 2 more years or anything of that nature, because that's the safer thing to do, is to continuously, you know, work. But I knew that I had something. I just had to learn how to communicate effectively with my audience, respond to what they're asking me for, and then tap into what I automatically know. Because for me, mm-hmm. what I ultimately determined was, what problem am I solving for my audience that they can rely on me and that I can feel comfortable sharing with them on a regular basis? So whether that is in a product form or me talking about it openly, my audience will be able to connect with that because they will be able to see my authenticity. So as an entrepreneur, you know, like I said, I didn't have, you know, 10 people standing behind me. I didn't have a tribe. I didn't have, you know, people cheering me on. It was a period of just walking through the woods and learning from all of my mistakes combined, and then having that spirit that says, you know what, you still have something inside of you. You just have to figure it out and do the cleansing part of it, you know, going through the trial and error, because that is a process of learning what your entrepreneurial journey would be, trial and error.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you really tried to use that. And I think you even say, even now, it's really not about failure. It's about using the information. Absolutely. To help you grow or to help you connect with your audience and mm-hmm. relearn what it is that they're looking for from you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, today's market is, you know, it's very crowded, and everybody's, mostly saying the same thing. Like, they want to pitch you an e-course or, you know, buy this t-shirt, buy this, writing journal, whatever. But what differentiates you from your competitors is your personality. People yes. feel like, you know, I can relate to your experiences because I've been where you are. You know, I've been a single mom. I've, you know, went through the system and relied on the government assistance. I've started my life over, and now I'm in a new chapter, and it's working for me. And when people can connect with you on an emotional level and they see your progress, they begin to cheer for you emotionally without you even knowing it. And like, they will go hard for you. I have support. Yeah. Online, it's like, oh my God, thank you for sharing it. You know, thank you for referring me. And I've never met them in person, but they've seen me from, you know, 2014 to all the way till now. And they feel like, I know you, I've seen you grow and blossom, and I want to support whatever you got going on in any way possible. So that's really cool for me.
That's yeah, awesome. That is awesome. And you shared, you just shared a little bit about your story, like your back end. So mm-hmm. before 2014 and launching out there, it sounds like your life took some twists and turns.
Oh yes, yes, it did.
Yeah. So share a few of those twists and turns that you now use as fuel to help you grow, especially for those that are listening that may be in the middle of their twist or their turn.
Yeah. For me, and I talk very openly about my past experiences, like I am not a person of shame or guilt or anything that I have experienced, I've learned from. So for me, in 2013, let's go back there. I was just in a marriage that was spiraling downward. You know, I married my high school sweetheart when I was 21 years old. We had no clue what marriage was. And we both came from dysfunctional parents, you know, so combining all of that and our inexperience, it became an abusive, verbally, physical and abusive marriage. And it became very toxic. And I did not know what my life purpose was. I couldn't figure out why was I not moving forward? Why was I continuously in a state of lack, of struggling, or of trying to figure out, trying to put this person together and trying to figure out myself at the same time? So ultimately, you know, fast forward to maybe 2015, I eventually left my marriage, filed for divorce, and I failed several times. You know, I lost my home, I lost my job, I lost everything. So when I tell you, I've been at the bottom. I know how it is to not have anything and question where God is in the equation. I know how it is. You know what I mean? Like, I would be in my bedroom, like, screaming, crying, and praying to God to, like, please just show up in this situation. But like I said before, you know, that was me with my back against the wall and crying for God when I was in a crisis and I didn't know him very well. So, you know, fast forward to 2016, I got back on my feet. I got a full-time job with benefits. I was able to get a secure home. I, you know, reestablished my credit history. Like, you know, life just eventually began to turn around. But before I was doing it all on my own. Like, I jumped into my marriage just based on love. I didn't know anything about a marriage. I didn't know how you're supposed to be as a wife or how to love your husband or how you're supposed to contribute to the marriage. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't have any examples. So I'm just going off of my own instincts of what I've seen other people, how they manage their relationships. And those relationships were not healthy. They were dysfunctional. Right. I'm getting, you know, all the wrong advice of this is what you're supposed to do and this is how you get them in line, you know. I was just so far removed from my faith and God, but I always had faith, like, this is going to work. I'm going to stick my marriage out. This is who I love. This is who I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. But in the end, I realized, now looking back, you know, this person was not in alignment with me. We were not in alignment together. We had grown apart. We had two different life paths, and I didn't ask the right questions before entering a relationship. So I'm 34 years old and I've grown so much and I'm still growing. I'm not perfect. I'm always going to be a work in progress. But I think, you know, when you go look back at your life, you have to learn from your mistakes. And that is all that life is going to do, is continue to teach you until you actually learn something. And when you do learn it, you're able to move forward and do better. And when you do better, that's when, that you meet your future self at your destination. And that's currently where I am. Like, I've met my future self. Like, she's awesome. Like, oh my God.
Awesome. I love it.
My life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love it. Now tell me this. Yes. Who was your childhood motivator when you were growing up? Even if when you first started, who was like that person that motivated you the most to keep going?
That's a tough question because I'm a very observant person and I pick up on energy and just, you know, just good wisdom and gems. So I can't narrow it down to one particular person. So I always was drawn to, and this is going to sound cheesy again, but I've always been drawn to P. Diddy. And I look at him now as an inspiration for me. But even as a child, I saw his work ethic, I saw all of his moves, I studied them, and even though I didn't go down that direct path, it inspired me to keep going. I could relate to the hustle, the grind, the having that ambitious spirit inside of you, and knowing how to dig deep and pull it out, and then become an amazing person. And that ultimately is how, you know, I began to like really stay hungry for what I want in this life. You know, life you can be dealt a bad hand and still make the best of what the hand that you've been dealt with. And I really respect people who come from the bottom or, you know, work so hard to get to where they want to be in life without sacrificing their morals and integrity and learning who they are and making an impact in the world. And that's ultimately who I am as a person.
Yes, that's awesome. And the person doesn't have to be someone you know.
Right. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so as you grew closer to the Lord, was there a scripture, like a favorite scripture that you want to share that really helps you and motivates you?
I don't have a favorite scripture. I read what I did, and this is the truth, is I wrote scriptures down in a journal, and I don't know where that journal is as of today, but I wrote it down. And what I also did was I began writing open letters to God putting those letters inside of a Bible. And I did the same thing when I was carrying my children. Like, you know, I would have the sonogram, and then I would ask God to cover them, and I would put their pictures inside of a Bible. And that's always been an instinctual thing for me, because I believe, you know, God is always present everywhere and anywhere. So yes. I can't remember a particular scripture offhand, but I know that when you write something down and you give it to God, and you typically walk away from it, like, you don't worry about it, but you know that it's in good hands, and then you expect that blessing is going to come to you, and it's already been answered. You just have to wait till it shows up in your life. That's typically my system, you know. And now I'm just at that point where I sometimes still write things down, but now I'm at a place where I just vocalize it, you know, whether I'm happy or sad or feeling in between, or, you know, oh my God, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I need to take a step back. Know, that's how I process things now. But, you know, I think that method of writing things down and putting somewhere safe, preferably in a Bible, that is very helpful to your growth.
Awesome. I think, there's no one way to do things. There's no one size fits all. And so I think that's beautiful that you're, and plus obviously being a writer, that I'm sure comes natural to you anyway.
Absolutely.
I've done that too. I have a composition book, and I put prayers in there for my family, for myself, and it is good. It's some power in writing it down.
Absolutely.
Yes, I think that's amazing. And because once you get it out of your head, it can live on. It can
Absolutely.
Go places. You can come back to it. Yeah. So you've given us a few nuggets of here's what you've done. Here's how you capture even your thoughts now, writing them down. Are there a few other, maybe 2 to 3 other action steps that you would share with our listeners as they're embarking on their business journey, or perhaps they're getting, they want to start, they don't know how to start, or they're in the middle? What can you share with them?
Well, I always tell people 2 things. I always say, for one, you have to connect with people who you aspire to be like. You know, you don't have to be a know-it-all. You don't have to know everything going into entrepreneurship or starting your business. Connect with someone who you aspire to be who's aspirational to you, you know, and make them your mentor, but not be a mentor to you where you are, you know, codependent upon this relationship helping you get your start. I think it's important, you know, you can select someone, you know, very randomly who you connect to, and they have business goals that are similar to yours, and you can just watch them. I think it's super important to watch people and be observant and learn, because nowadays people are giving you gems naturally when they go live, when they go to an event, when they, you know, say something on social media, and then they put it out there. You just have to be willing and ready to pick up on it, for one, and that's how you begin to learn. You know, you can, like I said before, you can go through all the courses, the books, whatever, and someone can give you their whole business plan. But if you're not actionable about that business plan, then you're going to continuously be in a spiral asking, oh my God, how do you do this? Or I don't know. And so I definitely would think, you know, A is to have a mentor that you aspire to. But it doesn't have to be a personal relationship where you're codependent upon this person, but learn from their actions and then be ready to take action. And then I think the second most important thing is to be authentic. You know, don't be afraid to fail and try again. You know, people fear failure because failure is embarrassing, or, you know, it's not working, or things are not shaping up how you expect them to be. And that's okay. If you're showing up for something and you believe, you know, this is my business, this is my product, this is what I believe that God put inside of me to share with the world, and you fail at the first time you fall, then that's okay. You have to get back out there and you have to dust yourself off, learn from your mistakes, and keep going. People give up too soon on their ideas and feel like, well, since nobody purchased my product, or nobody visited my website, or nobody commenting on my post, then people are not paying attention. One of the key things to my success is consistency. I am consistent throughout all of my platforms. I'm consistent on my blogging. I'm consistent with my marketing of my business. I'm consistent. I continuously show up for myself. Even if I'm not making a $1,000 deal on today or tomorrow, that messaging is still out there. And I have a community that is supportive because they see my hard work and they see my efforts. And when I am promoting a new book or promoting an event, my community is going to support that, and it's going to help me to attract that right client or that right customer to be led to purchase. So I think that, you know, if you have a fear of failure, you have to really evaluate the reason why you're starting your business, because failure is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You cannot escape it. It's like, I'm here. I'm going to trip you up. I'm going to make some obstacles, and as you're gonna, you know, pass it successfully, which is good, you know, if you're doing good, but don't go into it with I don't think this is gonna work, or you're uncertain about your purpose. You have to be firm in your decision making process and move purposefully and intentionally. And if you fail, then don't be afraid to say, you know what, that didn't work. Let me see why this didn't work, and go back out and try it bigger and better, and you'll get better at it. Nobody is 100% perfect all the time. Not at all.
Oh, that is so true. And I mean, that's the biggest thing, is that perfectionism.
Right. Exactly.
No one is going to do everything right. And so that is the biggest, I think, killer of creativity and productivity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You're right.
So thank you for sharing that.
So good.
What do you have going on right now? What do you want to share with our listeners about your business?
Well, I am, of course, I'm always looking to help someone share their story as a ghostwriter. So if you have a novel idea, a book idea, or you just want to expand, you know, your audience, a key thing for a lot of business owners is that they have a lot of knowledge and then they don't want to share that knowledge, or that they know one's paying attention or anything of that nature. But if you have a testimony of how you built your business to be where it is today and you're successful, then your audience needs to know about that. And the best way to connect with your audience is through a book. And I help people tap into that natural instinct of organizing their thoughts and putting it in a book and sharing with the audience to expand their audience times 10. But outside of that, what else I have going on is I'm working on some panelists. I'm a panelist on a few events this summer, and I'm working on a few workshops to help writers tap into writing their own novels and then branching off to becoming an author and an entrepreneur, because sometimes people miss that mark of just putting a book out there expecting for it to sell, and then they don't become a full brand and just go start writing the next book. So I definitely want to help authors with that. And then the last thing I'm working on is just a women's empowerment conference that I'm working on. It's not necessarily a conference, it's more like a workshop, but it debunks that mentality of perfectionism and mean girl spirit to just really get down to the core of women supporting women and looking back and giving the baton to the next generation. So it's for women who are between the ages of 14 and 21, and where we'll just go in there and be open and vulnerable about our experiences as influencers, as entrepreneurs, and give back and give wisdom and, you know, be able to mentor someone and give gems to someone and inspire them. Because sometimes people don't feel like they can approach you on social media, or you're not going to respond. So they have that fear. They don't have that connection immediately within their circles. So I want to, take down that wall and just connect from a genuine level in the, at the conference. So that's essentially what I have going on up until September of this year.
Okay. Wow. That conference sounds exciting. Lots of great nuggets for the women and the young women at 14 to 21. So if you're out there listening, make sure that you go to MC's, go to her different social media channels. She's going to give those out in a second so that you can get to that conference.
Absolutely.
So what social media channels are you on? How can our listeners connect with you?
I'm everywhere.
That's true.
But I'm more popular or more consistent with Facebook, so it's just MC Walker. And then on Instagram, it's at writer, like the profession, MC Walker, and the same for Twitter and Pinterest. So I'm not really on Pinterest as much, but if I will have a full-on conversation of randomness and good gems on Twitter, and I post really inspirational things on Instagram. So if you can always connect, just send me a direct message on either one of those platforms.
Wonderful.
That's awesome.
Thank you, MC.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on today. I just always love hearing your story, and today you definitely did not disappoint, giving us some amazing nuggets of information for our listeners, especially for those women who are looking to write a book or who are stuck and are just letting, you know, perfectionism or fear of failure stop them. And so I definitely feel like you really blessed and poured into them to keep going.
Yes, ma'am.
So I definitely appreciate that.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure. It really lifts my spirit to be able to pour into someone else. You know, that's ultimately what I really want to do, is empower someone else to keep going and, you know, share my story, be openly open and transparent, so that I can inspire someone else to feel like they can do it as well. Because I'm doing it, you can do it as well.
Exactly. And I do appreciate that. So we will definitely be watching you, continue to watch you online. I definitely love your feed. I see more of your Instagram feed, and I see you on Twitter too. Mm-hmm. And so, I just enjoy seeing your post. It's so inspirational, and we'll be keeping our eye on you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I look forward to connecting.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely keep an eye out, and we thank you again for joining us today.
No problem. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.